Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
The world has the idea, kind of the Doris Day, Forrest Gump sort of an idea that, you know, life is what it is and you get what you get and, you know, roll with the punches and go. Kind of a, if I was to put it in picture term, that life's kind of like a river and we're just on an inner tube and wherever it goes, we go. But we believe this here. And in the Christian world, there's those that believe that everything that has happened or will happen is predetermined by God and it's all under His providential oversight. And here, we don't teach that theology. If I was to put that same thing in pictures, it's like, okay, if you want to use the idea that life's a river and we're on an inner tube, we believe this. God gave you some oars. And those oars can direct you in life. And you know what? You might have to come to a place. In other words, if you're coming up to a waterfall, you don't have to go over the waterfall and crash and burn. You could paddle over to the side and you could portage. If you see yourself getting ready to go over a cliff, how many of you know that God's given us the ability to make some choices? In other words, whatever, please, I can't force you to believe anything, but I just encourage you to, if you've never really thought about this part of life, I really encourage you to challenge yourself. What do you think? What do you think about life? Do you feel like, well, you know, the Forrest Gump, life's like a box of chocolates, you don't know what you're going to get. Or it's not a Doris Day, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. We have the ability to choose. God's granted us that gift. It's the most sacred gift, and it's so sacred to God that if we choose against Him, He'll honor it, even though that's not His will. He wants us to. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But how many of you know not all will repent? The Bible is very clear about that. But how, it's the will of God that all come to repentance. Parents understand this, I think, intuitively. When we have children, our desire for our children is good, not of evil. And we want to see them succeed in life. And when I say succeed in life, I mean from all perspectives. We want to see them do well. How many of you taught your children to ride a bike? I've taught 5 children how to ride a bike. And it was my will that they learn to ride a bike. And they wanted to ride a bike. But now, I'm not all-knowing, but on the bike riding deal, I know that riding a bike is going to involve some pain. Yeah. I think 5 wonderful children, but every one of them biffed it. Right? And you kind of even get predictable. Right? When you first start riding the bike, it's amazing. All 5 of my children, now maybe you had overachievers, but all 5 of my children, that first time you turn loose, are they looking ahead or did they look at you? They look at you and guess what? Forget what's ahead. And okay. Now, my will for them is to be able to successfully come to the spot that they can ride a bike and it can be fun for them. And it can get them places. I know though that in the midst of it, they're not going to do everything correctly. Because if they did everything absolutely correctly, they wouldn't bite it. Isn't that right? But you know they're not going to. So what do we do as parents? We make sure that we're there. That when they do bite it, we're there to pick them up, pat them on the hind end and say, honey, it's okay. And kiss their boo-boo and put a Band-Aid on it, even if there's no need for one. Right? We'll do whatever it takes to do what? To give them the confidence to get back on that bike and go for it again. How many of you know God's like that times 10 in our lives? He's there. But you know what? We can just make choices that go against God completely. And it will determine where we go in life. Right? And so I just encourage you, maybe take some time and ask yourself, what do you believe about your life? Do you believe that you have any ability to affect your future? And I say we do. I say we do by the choices that we make and the way we think. In the book of Proverbs, it also says this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? And the idea about that is where we put our focus, where we put our attention, and all of that determines where we'll go. How many of you took a driver's ed course in school? Okay? one of the things they talked about is this concept called fixation. So that at nighttime, when it's dark outside and you're driving down a road at night, they tell you not to fixate on the other person's lights. Why is that? You can potentially drive right into them, right? In aviation, when you're flying on what's called a black night is a night that there's no horizon. You can't see the horizon because there's no stars and there's no moon to give you a coloration difference between the horizon, the land, and then sky. It's called a black night. And one of the things that pilots bite is they fixate on a light out there. Problem is that light is not a star. That light is on the ground. It's some ranch out in the middle of podunk nowhere. And if you fixate on that and you go, I'm just going to fly to the light because that's what I can see. Guess what you're going to do? You'll fly there and you'll crash right into that light and you'll bite it. What we think about and how we think can determine where we go. Now, just stop and think about that. There's a lot of our thoughts that aren't good thoughts. Amen. We talked about three things to ignore in our life. And one of those things is the first, and I think they get successively harder to do. The first one is we're to ignore limitations and negative expectations of others. That's easy when people don't know us. Somebody might make some comment that's derogatory to you. Well, you can't do that. You know, whatever. Do you think that's what you can do? Yeah, you can't do that. Well, we can pretty quickly ignore that. It's like, what do you know about me? You don't know anything about me, so shut up. I mean, in our brain, we might say, I ain't going to listen to you. But when it comes down to close people in our lives, that becomes a different issue, right? Those negative expectations and limitations that others put on us, it gets kind of difficult to ignore. But you know what? Nobody knows you like you. And you're the only one that really knows where you are. And if you've determined that, you know what? This is what I believe God has for me. I mean, you're realistic about it, okay? You're not whacked. You're not going off on a tangent. You're realistic about it. Let me tell you what. The limitations and negative expectations of others, at some point you're going to have to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? That is not going to be a part of my life. That's not going to affect me. The next one gets a little bit harder because you have to become self-aware. And that's you have to ignore the limitations of your own thinking. Amen? That's hard to think that my thinking may not be squared up. I could hear some of you go, not mine. Right? Because we like to think that we're all thinking right and thinking straight. But listen, we have the Word of God. We've got several areas that we can look at and come up against and go, ooh, am I thinking in line with this? And let me just tell you the first clue. If it doesn't line up with this, stop and adjust your thinking. Okay, change it. The third one that we need to ignore is even more difficult. It's the most difficult of the three. And that the limitations that came by our environment and upbringing, we have to ignore. Now that one's a little bit tougher because it's a systemic part of who you are. It's intrinsically who you are. And just stop and think about all the variables in this room. Different cultures, different social cultures, different geographic areas, all different. The demographics in this room are so varied. And listen, some of us grew up in great places. Some of us didn't. We all grew up in dysfunction. All of us. The only issue is how severe it was. Right? Because we all had imperfect moms and dads. None of us grew up in a perfect home. Okay? Probably we grew up in homes that maybe and hopefully our parents were sincerely trying. But nonetheless, because they didn't grow up in a perfect home and because they're human, you know, they brought what they had with them. So what I'm not saying, please understand, I'm not saying to throw your past away and ignore your past. Okay, I'm not saying to poo-poo your past. First of all, we all have one and you couldn't do that if you wanted to. But I will say this, we can, in light of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can look at some of the ways that we grew up, our environment, that are limiting and holding us back. And we can identify those things and say, you know what? I am not going to allow that to be a part of who I am. Just because a mom, a dad, a grandpa, a grandma, a brother, a sister, or an aunt or uncle told you you couldn't, that doesn't mean you can't. It doesn't matter if a parent, you know, granted, that's a big voice in our lives. It doesn't matter if you were told you weren't talented enough, you weren't gifted enough, you weren't tall enough, you were too short, you were not pretty enough, you were not strong enough, you were not fast enough, you're not gifted enough, whatever it may be. Just because somebody told you that does not make it so. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's find out what God said. Because guess what? God trumps them all. What is it in cards? The ace of spades is the highest, hottest, biggest dog there is, right? I'm going to tell you what. God can eat an ace of spades lunch. Amen? Are you with me? What he says needs to be the determining factor. So listen, it's difficult. I said this. You got to ask yourself some questions, some really in-depth probing questions. Why do I do what I do? Where does that quick temper come from? Where does that propensity to look at the negative side of things, where does that come from? Listen, guys, if we just try to pretend it doesn't exist, you'll never gain victory over it. You got to look at it for what it is and go, all right, it's there. Now I'm going to get it out of there. And whatever it may take, we need to make those decisions to do it. So that's part of what we talked about in realizing our potential. Let's talk about destiny for a moment. That's a word that's interesting how it gets defined, and it depends on which circle you surround yourself in the way that it gets defined. Destiny, let me just say this, is not some powerless fate that you're subject to. Okay? Destiny, I believe, is a purpose of God for every one of our lives. And listen, this purpose, guys, isn't just general that could be applied to everybody. In other words, God's destiny for you just isn't this general or this generic. Well, just be good. God's purpose for each one of us goes down to the absolute detail of our lives. And that's what makes God God and us not. He knows you inside and out, and he has a plan for you. Some would say, prove it. Ooh, real easy to prove. The book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks in the New Testament, he says this, everyone that's a part of the body of Christ is a member in particular. And God has set each one in the body just as he saw fit. Do you know what that means? That means that every person that's ever been created has a distinct plan of God for their lives. Amen? I mean, it's there. So the idea is how do we find that? How do we go after it? In fact, if I could use maybe another picture, a picture would be this. You have a piece of land that God deeded to you, and that land is called your destiny. And if you can find that deed and go to that land, you can then begin to explore what all of that land has. That's probably the best picture that I could give. And when I talk about destiny, that's what I'm talking about. So here's my question to you. Have you begun to discover what your destiny is? Have you found that land that God deeded to you, that has your name on it, that's yours? And in that land isn't the same for everybody. Because let me tell you what, God's not a utilitarian God. God is extremely creative. How do you know that? Look at this thing that we call the earth. Do we need the tropics? Yeah. Right now we do.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is, do we need the tropics and the desert and mountains and the polar caps? Do we need all of that diversity? No, we don't need it at all. But let me tell you what, God's creative. And the fact that we can look at this thing that he created called the earth tells me that God is infinitely more creative than any one of us have ever dreamed. And he's not just a utilitarian, just get by God. He's got something for every one of us in this room that's so incredible. And my piece of land doesn't look like your piece of land. My piece of land is filled with stuff that God has for me. And the same thing could be said for you. Have you discovered that land? And if you haven't, I'm going to tell you what. Go on an adventure. Find out what it's all about. Amen? Because I'll tell you what, it's incredible. In fact, let me say this. You already, the fact that you're sitting in this room, you have destiny written all over you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have destiny written all over you. I've been known or accused, whichever one you want to say, of being pretty graphic in some illustrations. Some of you go, uh-oh. I'm going to give you another one for you to just contemplate. Destiny's already written all over you right now because you're in this room. Do you know why? Because you beat out about a million others. Are you getting it? You got it? You beat out about a million other things that was going after the same thing and you won. Some of you going, what? Think about it. There's an egg. There's about a million other things that are going after that egg. You won. Raise your hands and go, touchdown! Yeah, whatever, okay. You won! Some of you are going, what? I just don't get it. Well, think about it. I'm not going to get excused of being too graphic. Anyhow, you already won. But listen, in this room, I know just by law of statistics, there's some in this room that are at a spot in life that just, there's something on the inside of you that it seems like every time you want to stand up, you maybe hear something inspirational. You maybe hear a talk about, you know, doing something great or a new beginning or God's got a great plan for you or dream big or whatever it may be. And there's something in you that wants to grab a hold of it and stand up for the first time maybe or stand up and begin to go that way. But then instantly there's a sabotaging that takes place on the inside. And there's a lot of hope destroyers out there that just instantly begin to cut away. And if we're not careful, we'll just retreat right back into that. Well, maybe I'm not worth a whole lot or whatever. I just want to encourage you this morning to really think about what you think, but how you think. Because that's crucial. It's just amazing how some things instantly come to people's minds subconsciously. When you talk about destiny and potential and going after it and whatever, how there's just negative things that instantly begin to start peeling away at it and start pulling it all back and say, oh, it can't happen. And one of those things, I'm just going to identify a few. They're pretty big though, and they're pretty common. Probably the largest one is age. Everybody say age. Yeah. If you're at a certain age, you know, whatever that age is, you may have a reaction on the inside, well, I'm too old. It's just a little bit too late for me, right? Or somebody will tell you you're too young. And I don't know where Robert got it. I don't know if we got along the way. But Robert Mosbach and I, a long time ago, were traveling throughout Europe, or throughout Great Britain. And we were in our 20s, and we were young. And so one of the things that we kept getting questioned on everywhere we went was our age. Okay, and I can understand. Here's two young guys in their 20s, and we spent 3 weeks going, every day, we ministered somewhere every day in Great Britain. And we had a belly full of this age deal. So we were driving along, and, you know, Robert just said this, well, you know what? I'm just fed up with this. Are you? And it's like, yeah, I am too. And he says, you know what? We're too young, and then all of a sudden they'll be telling us we're too old. So he said, let's just ignore it. I said, yeah, let's ignore it. So the idea was, is you know what? We're not going to let age affect where we are in life in terms of what we feel God's called us to do. We're going for it. I can tell you're excited about it. Right? Listen, when you hear stuff about you can do this, that, or the other, it's amazing how age comes up and goes, well, this is too late for you. It's this, it's that, it's that. Well, let me tell you what. If we're breathing, it's not too late. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4, you probably haven't done your devotions in Ecclesiastes because it's kind of a depressing book in a lot of ways. But Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4 says this, if you're tied to the living, there is hope. Everybody say, there is hope. Let me tell you what. And then he goes on to say, it's really an odd statement. He said, because it's better to have a living dog than a dead lion. It's like, okay, sure. What's the idea? Let me just say this. Tell yourself, it doesn't matter what. I'm alive. There's hope for me. There really is. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're alive, there's hope. Okay, we have to, well, let's go on. In verse 11 of that same chapter, it says that the race doesn't go to the swift. It says, well, I can read it, I guess. The race doesn't go to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance or opportunity are available to all. The next thing that's a hope destroyer is I wasn't born on the right side of the tracks. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't have this. I don't have that. Let me tell you what. That doesn't matter in God. If you're tied to the living, chance or opportunity comes to all. Now that's counterculture in the culture we live in. Right? Because the culture we live in has parameters. There's groups of people. There's causes that say this, that, or the other. Everybody wants to champion this idea of victim. Amen? But let me tell you what. Christians should not ever live a victim's life. We need to challenge ourselves and ask, are we going to be a victim or a victor? Amen? And let me tell you what, in God, it all changes because you're connected. Not only are you alive, is there hope, but you're connected to life himself. So there's hope. And let me tell you what, don't ever allow yourself to believe that I was not born at the right time. I wasn't born on the right side of the tracks. I wasn't born with the right set of giftings or skills or this, that, or the other. Don't fall into that belief system, because let me tell you what, it will forever keep you back from becoming God, what God wants you to be in life. When you come to Christ, He levels the playing field. He's no respecter of persons. Amen? In India, there's a distinct caste system, C-A-S-T-E, a very distinct caste system. And rarely, it's not that it's never happened, but rarely does one caste gravitate to the other. It almost never happens. You stay within your deal. That's who you are, whatever. And America doesn't have a distinct caste system. It's not pronounced, but it's alive nonetheless. There is a practical caste system in America. There really is. People of different whatever stay within their area, right? In fact, there's movies. Movies become famous over a love story of you know, Miss Whoever, Boston Blue Blood, falls in love with Alabama Swamp Man. Are you with me? And family convince Mrs. Blue Blood that Alabama Swamp Man is not good enough. Or, you know, you can have a variation on that theme, whatever it may be. City boy falls in love with country girl, and never the twain shall meet. God removes all of that. And it's important that as Christians, we remove the natural things that limit us in life. That we remove that when it comes to us becoming what God has for us to be. Because let me tell you what, in God, everyone is a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and let's not let anyone or anything take that away. Amen? It's what we believe and how we believe. So opportunity is available. Say this. Say, opportunity is available to me. The instant I said that, I'll guarantee you, people in this room had thoughts that went just like this. But you don't know. But you don't know what's happened to me. You don't know the water under the bridge of my life. You don't know what I've been told. You don't know this. That. I'll guarantee you, people in this crowd right here today fought that. The instant I said, for you to say, opportunity is available to me. The instant I said that, I guarantee you, people in this room went, well, doesn't ever happen to me. It only happens to other people. Because I'm not. Let me tell you what. Identify that kind of thinking. Find out where it comes from. And do whatever you got to do to begin to renew your mind to the Word of God. Because that will kill you or limit you in life. Do you know what I mean? It'll stop you from becoming. Listen, there's things that people have gone through in life that's just limited to them and just went, no. Well, I've done this, so I'm... I shared the story of a person that was devastated by just where they were in life. Things were good for them. But it came out, it was their reaction to a sermon similar to this, that just in terms of saying, you know, what God has for you, He wants you to become and dream those big dreams and go after it and yik. Had a great conversation that, but Pastor, you know, I didn't come to Christ until later on in life, and I'm married and I have children. I've got a house. I've got a mortgage payment. I've got a car payment. But I'm in a job that I hate. I do it well, but I hate it because it's not me. It's not me. Now that I've become a Christian, and he began to find out who he was in Christ and began to find out his foundational gifting and found out what his passion was, and he was just all excited. But the instant he'd get excited, the instant he would just sabotage everything, because it's like he'd look at his age in life and look at where he was and realize, I've got all these responsibilities. And the light come on one day, and talking with him, I just said this, well, listen, does God know all? And he goes, yeah. I said, listen, bro, I want to encourage you. You're talking as if God doesn't know that you're married. He does. You talk as if God doesn't know, well, I have three kids. He knows. You talk as if God doesn't know you live in a house that you're making payments on. He knows. You talk as if God knows nothing about your life. And in asking you this desire that's there, where it comes from, you even say it's with God. And so I said, here's the thing that you have to ask yourself. Either God is a tormentor, or you can start making steps to go there. Well, got defensive. Well, I just can't quit my job. I said, I'm not telling you to quit your job. That's stupid. First of all, let's just recognize. So I just began to point out, recognize this. You've been an honorable man. Man, you've provided for your family. Good for you. You've got a great job. Good for you. You know that's not your world now. In other words, that's not what God created you to do. I said, so listen, take steps to go. Well, reaction. Well, I can't. I'm married and I'm God's kid. I said, listen, we've heard that before. God knows all of that. But listen, you're not trapped there. You're giving the idea that I'm trapped in life now. There's nothing I can do. I said, you know what? If that's true, then everything that we believe about God is a lie. Well, what do I do, Pastor? I said, good. First of all, get teachable. This was before internet was a big deal. Go to the library. That area that you want to go, because he brought up the third thing. Don't have the right kind of education. Right? Are those three things some of the top three hope killers? My age isn't right. My background isn't right. Wasn't born on the right side of the tracks. And I'm not educated. First of all, don't define education as just academia. And in this world that we live in, with the internet, I'm going to tell you what. You just can search the area you want to learn about. You can find more information than you possibly ever could know was available. Just a little stat. True story. Is what the gurus tell me. If you study something, if you were to take a topic today, you know nothing about, you were to start today with a topic you know nothing about and study it for 15 minutes every day, in 5 years, you will become the world's leading expert. It's just how hard we want to work. All right? So I told this gentleman, I said, go to the library. I said, here's what you can do, bro. I said, I'm telling you, do not go out and go, well, you know, I just need to quit my job because this isn't what God... I said, that's stupid. You still need to be an honorable man and provide for your family. Some of you are questioning that. Paul says, if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's an infidel. Okay, that went over well too. Anyhow, go to the library. I said, now listen, you make sure that you don't abandon your family in the process. In other words, I was very specific. I said, make sure that you don't go home and tell your wife, well, honey, don't bother me now. I'm studying this new stuff. I said, you make sure you take care of those little kids. You take care of your... You do all the things that you need to do as a family man. You maybe stay up 30 minutes or an hour later at night, or get up 30 minutes or an hour in the morning. But you start studying and developing. and learning as much as you can about this area that you feel God has for you. And you diligently do that every day. Well, I still can't go. I said, well, stop. What you think and how you think will determine where you'll go. Did that about 2.5 years later or so. Called me back. Pastor, you'll never believe. I just started laughing. It was a belly laugh that was just, yes, because I know what's coming. You'll never believe, Pastor. I'm able now. I've just had an opportunity come up that's in the area that I feel God has for me. He said, who would have ever thought? I said, well, 2.5 years ago, you would have never thought, right? It's amazing what God will do if we'll just get out of the box, which is the first point that I'm going to close this with. Don't live life in a box. Amen? Anytime you try to put God in a box, he'll get out. Right? You're not going to be able to box him in. So why would you box yourself in? Box yourself in by what? By your own thinking. By your environment. By your upbringing. Box yourself in by what other people think of you. I'm not telling you to just go through life ignoring people. Because there are, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Most people, if you ask them to quote that verse, quote it wrong. Most people say in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. Doesn't say that. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So you know what? Listen to people. But at the end of the day, at the end of the day of praying, at the end of the day of you meditating on God's word, at the end of your day of consulting and counseling with people, at the end of the day though, just because somebody thinks you can't doesn't mean you can't. At the end of the day, it's what God thinks that has to trump it all. Amen? At the end of the day, once you've considered yourself and realized that, you know, you've got patterns of going this way. Parents understand this. You can ask your kids to do some things and you can predict their reaction before they react. Isn't that right? What is that? We're people of habit. We get into ways of thinking that become very predictable. That's why people in the criminal world can begin to figure out, they can psychologically profile criminals. Thinking can be very predictable. So if you look at yourself and how you think, if you always react to something the same way every time and you don't like that reaction, I'm going to tell you what, just because you want to react differently doesn't mean you will. You've got to first determine, why do I do that? You can't just say, well, I'm not going to do it anymore. Listen, you can't stop something that you know nothing about. Amen? And then, can't allow your, don't get in that box. Well, this is how I was brought up. If it's negative. If it's good, hang on to it. Cherish it, treasure it. So I'm not just saying throw away your past. I'm saying there's some of our past that was wrong. Some of the ways our parents raised us were wrong. It's not an indictment against our parents. They tried their best. Are you with me? There's just some ways that it's not going to help you in God. If you grew up in an ungodly home, I can guarantee you, there's some things that you're going to have to do as a Christian you weren't taught to do. Right? Some of you are thinking about that. Money's the biggest issue. If you grew up in an ungodly home, well, all the church does is want to steal your money. You give your heart to Jesus Christ, come in, and you hear somebody stand in the pulpit talk about tithing, I can guarantee you, you'll have an internal reaction on the inside. Well, all they want to do is steal your money. And if you believe that, guess what? You'll never tithe. Or you can look at the Word of God. Well, does the Word of God say we should? And, you know, whatever. Second thing, don't allow the box of your past to sabotage your future. Every one of us in here have a lot of miles underneath us. But we've had a lot of things happen in our lives. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever. But let's just make sure that we don't allow the box of our past to hold us prisoner to our future. Amen? Focus on what's ahead. If you don't mind, write down 5 words and I'll hurry up and close this out. Kind of like a barbed wire fence, just a few more points and we'll be done. Some of you are going, what? What's a barbed wire fence? I realized I used to pronounce that in a way that most people go, what is a barbed wire fence? B-O-B-B. And it's barbed. And I have to on purpose when I'm around folks that don't know what a barbed wire fence is. Right? It's like barbed wire. Okay. Five words. Write these down. Believe. Second, determine. Third, cooperate. Four, assess. Two S's on both sides. Five, decide. Now I'll go back and put a sentence with them. Believe that you're on earth for a purpose, that God really does have a plan for you. And then I want to encourage you to instantly tell yourself, and that plan is good. Everybody say, that plan is good. Okay? Because listen, if you're not careful, your brain will do this. God has a plan for me, but so far it's been. The instant you do that, you've started sabotaging it. You've started cutting out another leg underneath of you, right? God has a plan for you, and it's good. Second, determine to do whatever is necessary to discover that deeded land that's called your destiny. Amen? It has incredible things on the inside of it. Third, this is one to me that's the linchpin. This is the one to me that involves your choice in a huge way. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit to guide you along the way. So just ask yourself this question. If there is a plan that God has for you, does He want to make it known to you? I've proved my point. A lot of people aren't sure about that. They really aren't. Okay, some are just maybe more vocal. But you know what? There's a lot of people that really are unsure whether God wants to make His will known to them. Let me just tell you what. God's not the kind of person that when you just get close to, He runs off only to hide Himself so you can find Him again. That's not God. God wants to make His will known to you. He's not looking to hide Himself from you or me. He's looking to reveal Himself to us. So what we have to do is cooperate. This is why, to me, it's the linchpin. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He guides us. Because let me tell you what, He's not going to guide us. The Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you as a Christian is not going to guide you away from God's will or the destiny He has for you. He's going to guide you along the way. So stop and think about what that really involves. That means that you're going along in life. Pastor Josh, can I use you for a moment? So what I want you to do, I'm the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm your boss. No. Okay. So Josh is walking along in life, and just go wherever you want to go, Josh. And he wants to find his destiny. It's like, oh, no, I want you to go here. I want you to go here. Okay. Ooh, no. Now I want you to go here. Okay, whatever. Listen, now resist me, Josh. Here's life. It's like, ooh, wait a minute. If He's going to go where I want Him to go as the Holy Spirit, He has to obey. That's where the linchpin is for me, is in this one. To cooperate. So he's, you know, when I nudge you, lean into me. Don't let me. So you're just walking along like, oh, Joshua, I don't want you to go there. How many times do we do that in life? So here's what we just have to tell ourselves. Listen, what you think and how you think is crucial. He needs to develop a default. Go ahead and sit down. He needs to develop a default on the inside that says, He knows better than I do. Until we can get like that, can you imagine how frustrated? I don't know that God experiences these emotions, but can you imagine how frustrated God could get with us? I mean, after a while, stand up again, Josh, please. After a while, when He just keeps, like, I want you to go here, and He just resists, after a while, I just want to go, all right, big boy, you're so hot and all that, you just do it then. And guess what? His path is going to lead where? To destruction. Guaranteed. But what He needs to do is He needs to get this thing called humility. Humility is an acknowledgement that God knows best. He knows best. So when the Holy Spirit in our lives, we tell God and we pray and cry and we strongly desire, oh Lord, I want to move into what You have for me. And can you just imagine the Holy Spirit on the inside is like, yes, now we're going to get somewhere. And then that first time the Holy Spirit nudges him, I don't want to go there. We just need to do this, guys. What we need to work on is just quickly, as quickly as we can get there, to develop a default in our life that says, God knows best, and go that way. The quicker we can get there, I believe, I won't use necessarily the word quicker, but I will just because I can't think of another one quick enough. We will more quickly be on our road to fulfilling what God has for us. The quicker that we can get to that spot that we give to the Holy Spirit. 4, assess where your focus is. Ask yourself this question. You know, financial counselors do this. If you go to see a financial counselor, you're in financial crisis, and you go to see a financial counselor for the first time, I can tell you what 90% of them are going to do. They're going to say this. I want you to write down on a piece of paper for the next 30 days where you spend your money. For the next 30 days, I don't care if you buy a coffee at 7-Eleven, write it down. Or every dime that you spend for the next 30 days, I want you to write it down. And they tell you, because you don't know where you're spending your money. Yes, I do. Most always, for the people that do it, always are in for a big revelation. They go, wow, I had no clue. I encourage you this way. If you seriously want to get on the road to what God has for you, I encourage you. I would use the word 30 days, but most of you would instantly click out in your brain. I ain't going to do that for 30 days. So I'll tell you for the next week, 7 days, write down what you think about. What do you think about? Where do you spend your time thinking? Okay? And you know what? I can tell you this. If you're serious, I've only had a few people, by the way, ever do it. That I've counseled them. I want you to write down your thoughts for 7 days. And you know what? The ones that have, inevitably they'll end up and come in with the answer when they come back and go, I can tell you where I'm missing it. I'm thinking about this way too much. Right? So assess where your focus is. The last one. And then make a decision. What do I need to change if I'm going to move forward in God? What do I need to change? Because listen, this idea of a victim's mentality that I think a lot of people at least would have to acknowledge that there is a strong undercurrent of a victim's mentality in the world in which we live. I'm going to tell you how it shows up, because I'll just say this. Whatever is found in the world is found in the church. And let me tell you what victim's mentality is in the church. Here's where it is. Well, I've prayed and asked God to change me. That's the victim's mentality. Because what you're saying, I've asked God to do it and He didn't change me. So it's all God's fault. That's the victim's mentality. Let me tell you what. When we ask God to change us, I understand maybe what we mean by that, but just understand this. When you ask God to bring change in your life, I can guarantee you if you were to hear Him vocally say to you, He would say this, cool. You make the steps forward and I'll be there right behind you. Amen? Let me see you make some steps in that direction and I'll be right behind you, right beside you, all over you, whatever you want to say, okay? But that victim's mentality is strong in the church. Well, why do you do that? I don't know. I asked God to change me. I've prayed for that for years. Okay, so then it's all God's fault. So God failed in changing you. Well, I don't know what else. Well, I can tell you what else, Bubba. You need to get off your hind end and do something. Okay, well, with that positive note, next week I'm going to start a series that I'm just really excited about. I'm going to start a series, I hate using this phrase because it's such a cliche phrase, but victorious Christian living. But I'm going to talk about it and bring some stuff that I really haven't brought in before. In fact, there's an area of it that I don't know that I've, in all the time that I've been speaking, I don't know that I've ever publicly talked about it very. If I have, I can't remember. So I encourage you to come, or if you know you're going to be gone, go online and download the podcast or something. But I believe this. A lot of people want to approach victorious Christian living from their self. Okay, and I understand that. But I believe that victorious Christian living is truly the greatest witness that we can give to the world about the power of the God we serve. So that victorious Christian living, some may not like this, but victorious Christian living isn't so much about you. It's about Him. Amen. So anyhow, I'm kind of excited about it, and I hope you want to come and check it out. But let's bow our head and close our eyes. If you're here,
thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.